Let us pray. Father, during this Advent season, open our eyes to the wonder of Jesus Christ and the difference he makes in everyday life. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts truly be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today in Advent, we're asking the question, why did God send Jesus? What makes him unique? Why Jesus and why is he special? If you were here on Friday for our wonderful Lessons and Carols service, I talked briefly, much to your enjoyment, I know. I think it was a 7-minute sermon, the best I ever preached, they say. I talked about what makes for a great story. You see, the script of a great narrative goes something like this. All is ideal and blissful. Then seemingly, an insurmountable crisis arises and threatens the existence of everybody. Enter a hero, an unlikely hero, the more unlikely and the more seemingly unequipped, the more, well, let's just say, unworthy of the task, the greater the heroics, the greater the surmounting of the challenge to overcome and set everything right. The hero flies in and saves the day, isn't it right? In every great fairy tale. My wife and I counted throughout the Lord of the Rings trilogy how many times the situation was absolutely hopeless. There's no way Frodo's getting out of this one. No way. I think we were up to 35 times the situation was hopeless. And sure enough. You see, the script for a great story is also the script of the Bible. The world was created in perfection. All is well. Creation knows joy and peace. Surely the lion lies down with the lamb. But something goes dreadfully wrong with creation. And the story is in danger of imploding. Earth is no longer a Garden of Eden. Humans are far from perfect. Whether it's cyclones and hurricanes in the Philippines, or shootings in the Newtown school system. Death and pain and chaos break in. A breakdown of the created order ensues. And so the story goes, right? And humanity is now trying to either escape the breakdown, or change the effects, or deny the facts, or recreate some part of that perfect ideal. Don't you agree that all religions, all political structures, social cultures seek to create their idea of a better life, to get back to that perfection, to overcome the challenges, to reverse or combat the effects of tragedy? All of them. Communism, Al-Qaeda, Mormonism, environmentalism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, every ism imaginable has their solution to either overcome, deny, or recreate perfection. Let's get back to, or move on to, bigger and better things. Or let's deny the existence of, or work, or hope, or endure until maybe we can just someday arrive. Or as the song goes, maybe we just need to get by with a little help from our friends. Unless our friends don't have to be outside the apartment with us when the crazy fan wants to kill us. A la John Lennon. Amidst the plethora of solutions to the lack of the ideal, why Jesus? I mean, he seems so outdated. Could he really be the hero? The one to overcome all the odds and set things right. Can Jesus get the ring to Mount Doom? Can he save the world from aliens or destroy the Death Star in order to restore peace to the universe? Really? Jesus? Meek and mild, baby in a manger, emasculated Jesus? You see, in order to understand what kind of hero is needed for our particular tragedy, we have to understand the extent and nature of the problem that exists. Do you ever notice when a tragedy hits, everyone looks for a solution? The Newtown Square. We're coming up on the anniversary. I've been thinking about it this week. You know, of course, the problem is gun control. If we had just had better gun laws, that never would have happened. Or the problem is the breakdown of the family. Look at his relationship with his parents. If we can just get the family together, those kinds of things will never happen. Well, the problem was security in the schools. If they just had more security in the schools, it never would have happened. Now, I'm sure all of these solutions might be good solutions to perhaps that particular case. But isn't what's behind every tragedy more complex? You see, they never seem to end. This week, one of our members is getting a message in the news that he's got some sort of cancerous tumor in his pancreas. What's going to solve that? Where's the hope in that kind of message? Then it comes to a natural disaster. How do you explain that? There's no one to blame but God himself when a natural disaster hits. Who will save us from this life? If you turn to Isaiah, open up your bulletin. I want to encourage you to bring your Bible. You can start writing notes. Part of our preaching task is to help us understand the Bible, not just meet our immediate needs. As we look at Isaiah chapter 11, you see behind his promise of a Messiah what the nature of the problem is. You have to dig a little bit, but you realize as he paints a picture of the Messiah, we realize what kind of tragedy really exists. That the human story and the creation story goes much deeper than gun control or economics or having the wrong government in power. The world needs more of a solution than behavior management, rules to live by, running from pain, denying reality, or a better future hope for utopia. By looking at Isaiah's vision of the solution to the human tragedy, we see a depth of the problem. Do you see it here? Take a look. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 10. First, we need a hero who can bring understanding and recognition of reality. For those of you who've had kids, most kids between the ages of 13 and 18 have no clue about reality. And you know what the problem is? They think they do. We are so stupid as parents. How could we be so stupid? They should run the universe. My girls get tired. And when they get tired, no offense, Grayson, we've talked about this, they are more prone to get a distorted view of their sisters, or what's fair, or what they're owed. And it means mom and dad have to parachute in and help give them perspective. The problem is they're irrational. They're kids. Somehow, if we could break in and give them an understanding of what's true, we might be able to give a help. There's a hero, look at that, the hero that brings understanding, that has a spirit of wisdom who understands what's really true. J.R.R. Tolkien says, all that's gold doesn't necessarily glitter. All who wander aren't necessarily lost. The rich are not always blessed, and the poor are not always cursed. We need a hero who understands life as it is and can explain it to us. Secondly, we need a hero with enough power to bring justice to light. Any of you ever been on the wrong side of injustice? We got a glimpse of Nelson Mandela this week, didn't we? Here's a man who sat in prison thinking about every day how he was the victim of injustice. Now, in our upper middle class, upwardly mobile world, which most of us live in, we're pretty good. We don't see a lot of injustice. But you start sitting in prison for 27 years for standing up for truth, and believe me, you are crying out for justice. I need a hero who will bring the light and bring truth where there's injustice. Praise God for Nelson Mandela that he didn't lose his faith in God and he kept going to bring light to the injustice in South Africa. But we need a hero greater than Nelson Mandela. We need a hero who can bring righteousness to people. What does this mean? Isaiah, what do you mean righteousness? who can establish a right working within both the internal and external power structures of the world, that can bring rightness to our desires inside of us and rightness to the world out there. I got to tell you, not a day goes by when someone doesn't complain about Obamacare that I hear about, or complain about the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. Is there a rightness to doing things? We'll battle it out left and right all year. But is there one who can come and bring a right perspective for everyone to agree on? We need a hero, it says, who can restore the created order. Look at this imagery. Are you kidding me? The leopard and the lamb, the wolf and the lamb, the lion and the lamb, the calf and the lion. A little child, a nursing child, will be safe over the den of a snake that only knows how to kill. Is there a hero who actually cannot just save my needs or get me a better job, but can restore creation to redeem the relationship between creation and humankind? And of course, is there a hero that can save us? Look what it says. On my holy mountain, they will neither harm nor destroy. No more pain or death. Really? Is there a hero who can do all of that? Isaiah is clear. The depth of the tragedy reaches beyond your immediate needs. The Bible says we are just but a breath, like the grass that is here today and gone tomorrow. You mean the breakdown goes deeper than what I see or understand or feel? Who can provide more than just personal or individual, political, environmental, spiritual, social, or economic solutions? Who can deliver the package? Let me stop. Who are you looking to deliver the package for you? Really, who's your savior? Is it your work? Your family? Is it religion? Doing good? Who's your hero? And can your hero solve all those problems? You see, the Bible's claim is that any other political or economic dream or religious option doesn't deal with the depth of the tragedy of the human story. The options we take as a culture are these. It's all spiritual. All we need is spiritual freedom. Who cares about the material? Deny it. Get away. Go live in a convent. All that matters is what takes place to come. This is what the Greeks believe and Buddhists believe and Hindus believe. Separate the bad material world from the spiritual. Others see the problem as just purely physical. Look, we need to work harder and get out there and change the structures. It's called the social gospel. To deny the spiritual side of life, that's not as important. What's important is that we change society. We make up for the past. Others say, look, we just need justice. If you would stop sinning, do not lust, do not steal. This is Islam. There's no mercy or grace for the sinner. You better conform your life to the law or you'll be toast at the hands of the tragedy, which is the world, apart from the law. Others see hopeless fatalism. You know what? Social Darwinism lives. Eat, drink, and be merry. Hey, make money, live in Green Spring Valley, put your fingers in your ears, close your eyes, and play golf as much as you can. Survival of the fittest stinks for them. The 3.5 million orphans in India alone who live on the streets. Sorry, tough world. You see, none of these solutions take into account the depth of the problem and has the power to actually deal with life as it is or bring full redemption. Really? Jesus can do all this? Can redeem creation? Can redeem individuals? Can transform political structures? Can heal the body? Will rebuild someday the entire environment? We'll take a lion or a wolf. You have wolves in your own lives, don't you? You know the people. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe someone out who's just destroyed. Maybe it was back in eighth grade and you're still living under the condemnation of being the biggest loser in your class. There were wolves. Are you kidding me? A God who can transform communities? And the powerful, not out of guilt or obligation, can learn to love and reach out and serve the less? You see, Isaiah's claim is that there was a man who entered the tragedy, a hero, but not just any man. He was from the root of Jesse, so he came out of the human race, fully man, but he was empowered with the spirit, the privileges, and the rights of God himself. A man God. Colossians 1, as we read, expounds this, says that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Chapter 2, verse 9 says that all the fullness of the deity lived in Jesus in bodily form. That the God who created the story entered the story, not to meet immediate needs, but to change everything. He came with power. Verse 4, his words were so powerful, by his word, he could act. His understanding and knowledge is perfect. He knows the depth of our human hearts and the depth of the problems in the world. He can be trusted to know more than we do, to have his perfect plan. He judges and shows mercy. He does make people pay. Look at that. Kills the wicked. But we know later was willing to die for the same wicked and be killed for them. He's willing to not only reestablish community on this side of the grave, but one day rebuild all of creation. The hero who can heal every pain and destroy every death, who took our pain, lived the lives we should have lived, died the death we should have died, broke death and says, by the way, now you can live free. Even though you're still in the tragedy, you're of a different kingdom. So get about building it now by the power of my Holy Spirit. This is the amazing claim of the Bible. Buddha can't make this claim. Muhammad can't make this claim. Osama bin Laden couldn't make the claim. Joseph Smith of Mormonism couldn't make the claim. A man fully God and fully man broke into the world to transform and deal with the core issues that have destroyed or sought to destroy the whole story. Why Jesus? Only the creator of the world has the power to save the world from the inside out. None other is worthy of being a hero. And let me remind us, if you're entrusting yourself to be your own hero, do you really think you have the power to deal with even a fraction of what is required to redeem the entire story? We can't even change ourselves. Doing good, pulling out our little resume, look, I'm a good person, is really going to solve the depth of the human tragedy? Is going to repair the sins you've committed against others? Can heal marriages, raise beautiful kids that reflect God's glory? You really think that we can be our own heroes? Really? Isaiah says, look, the true heroes come. The God-man himself, Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis says this, you can shut him up for a fool, you can accuse him or throw him aside as being a madman, or you can trust him to be the savior of the story, and you can join him in the saving itself. The famous poem, anonymous poem, that says this, all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as his one solitary life. And in Handel's immortal words, this man God will reign forever and ever over a redeemed creation. The question is, will you let him redeem you? And then will you join him in the thrill of redeeming creation? Because he gives us a role and says, I'm going to start it now. I'm going to cause you to go out there and be my instruments of grace and love until I come back again and make it all right. This Christmas, we celebrate the hero, the only hero, who's worthy to redeem the story. May we commit not only to receiving him now, but joining him now in the redemption of all things until we see him face to face. This is Jesus. And he calls to us, will you accept him as the hero, as your hero? Amen.